What a wonderful joy to be able to gather on this day that God has made as we are gathering to our spaces. Today is the very first day in which we are inviting our Sunday school for children age Sunday school to meet during this hour. And they are meeting downstairs right now. And so you may hear young voices and such back and forth. What a wonderful opportunity to have that happen. And that's something brand new, as we mentioned to you some time ago, that the church is engaged in. And we're excited for our young people as they gather to know and learn more and more about God. We're so glad that you are here today. Welcome to each and every one of us as we worship. Some announcements, and you see the bulletin. I do want to highlight a few of them. One being the consistory meeting on this coming Tuesday, 7 p.m. Downstairs here at the church. And our next Jenny's Lunch will be on this coming Thursday, September the 11th, and a critical date for many of us in America. And you see the menu before you. I mentioned those two things to say this also. Some of you know that our son, and by the way, I'm planning to be here for the Jenny's Lunch, and I'm looking forward to that. We have a 9/11 event to attend before the lunchtime, but it should be over by lunchtime. Looking forward to that. However, having said that, some of you have heard a prayer chain that our son was injured. Well, he will be scheduled for surgery sometime this week. We just don't know when. So consistory members, if it's on a Tuesday, I'll let you know. And of course, I won't be here. I'll be with him. And if that's on Thursday, I'll let you know as well for those with the Jenny's Lunch. But looking forward to that. Vegetable hamburger, vegetable soup. And all the rest there. And you see the announcements regarding the crafts class and the upcoming concert with Vicki Truitt. And we're looking forward to that. School has begun, and so we are receiving snacks as well for the Jefferson School. And please make note of the announcement regarding that. And I promised Nancy Gore is downstairs with the Sunday School, and I promised her that I'll mention the Reeves Across America. If she were here, she would remind us about that. And what a wonderful opportunity to honor our veterans. And so please make note of the opportunity to support the Reeves Across America. And the information there is in the bulletin. All right, are there any additional announcements we wish to share? Fran? Choir practice right after church, and then singing on next Sunday. Yes, Linda.
I'd like to officially thank Sally Hemstreet for the beautiful wreaths and the way she decorates the church. She does the same.
Thank you. Are there any others? Zanna, and our help. It's in the name of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Let us prepare for worship during this time of prelude. I lift up the name of the Lord. Thank you, Linda. Let us join together as we stand to sing our introit, Turn Your Eyes, if you're able to stand, upon Jesus. Synthesis this morning will come to us from Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his will.
And the vessel he was making of clay was soiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do. Then the word of the Lord came to me.
O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done? Says the Lord. Behold, like the clay in a potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom, and that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will repent of the evil that I intended to do to it.
Amen.
Let's continue our worship, please, with our first hymn of praise, hymn number 575, Eternal Father, Strong to Save.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please be seated. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he might have mercy upon them, and to our God, that he might abundantly pardon. Let us pray. Holy and merciful Father, we acknowledge and confess before you our sinful nature, prone to evil and slow to do good, and all our shortcomings and offenses. You alone know how often we have sinned in wandering from your ways, in wasting your gifts, in forgetting your love. But, O Lord, have mercy on us who are ashamed and sorry for all wherein we have displeased you. Teach us to hate our errors. Cleanse us from our secret faults and forgive our sins for the sake of your dear Son. Hear us as we spend a few moments in silent prayer and reflection, Holy Father. And hear us as we pray. And, O most holy and loving God, help us to live in your light and walk in your ways, according to the commandments of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all of our diseases. Beloved people of God, believe this good news and let us live in the loving kindness of our God. Affirm what we believe by saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and of life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Hear these words that our Lord Jesus Christ have said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second one is like to it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. I'm about to finish it, but I want to just pause here. Your neighbors are right around you. Your neighbors are everyone, our neighbors are everyone we come in contact with. And then he goes, on these two commands depends all of the law and all of the prophets. Amen. Our words of assurance that will come to us from Psalm number 1.
Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water. It yields its fruits in the season. Its leaves do not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
This is the word of the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, now our ministry of music. Let God be God to you. you, Linda. Before we sing our next hymn of praise, just want to explain something. If you're sitting on this side, you might have noticed something a moment ago, me laughing a little bit, and I need to explain what was going on with that. I was following along, and by the way, the only reason I say that, it's hard to hide when you're here. Sometimes you don't, and I forget you can see me. You could not see me over here, but what was going on with this? I was singing along, Linda, with you as we, you provided the music, and I was doing real good until the chorus. And I couldn't follow the chorus the first time. I said, I'm going to do it the second time. So I got the second verse, and we're singing right on through. And I couldn't do it the second time. What made me laugh was on the third verse, if you notice, if you're looking at this, it tells you on the third verse to go to the ending. You see that? And I looked at the ending. I said, well, that doesn't help me either. So I just listened to it. But I got so tickled when that was happening. I love the wording there, and I love the music. Thank you for sharing that with us. And she shares this with us in case you, like me, would like to sing out loud, but gratefully I did not do it out loud to hear my voice. Anyway, our next hymn of praise, 376, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Thank you. Please be seated. Admittedly, the song we just sang is usually sung as an invitation at the end of the service, and sometimes sung in camp situations, in Christian camps. And we chose that song because it goes with our text this morning. And our text today is Luke chapter 14. Verses 25 through 33. Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 33. I'd like to talk for just a little bit on the subject, a cross-bearing disciple. A cross-bearing disciple. Luke chapter 14. Now, great multitudes accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, Anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and comes after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it began to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king going to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and take counsel whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, when the other is yet a great way off, he sends an embassy and asks terms of peace. And then verse 33 as the last. So therefore, whoever of you who does not renounce all he has cannot be my disciple. A cross-bearing disciple. Immediately, these words which Jesus spoke here in Luke's gospel are difficult not only to hear, but in some respects to live. And Jesus, in responding to great multitudes that were gathered in his presence, and that was not something unusual with Jesus. Wherever Jesus went, there were often great crowds of people who were gathered together to listen to him and to follow him. And I would imagine in those opportunities and times, and I know some of the Gospels point out where people have said to Jesus, "I'll follow you wherever you go, and I want to be a disciple of yours." To which Jesus responded in these words. And I'll read them again in the first part of the Luking Gospel. And starting with verse 26, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, cannot be my disciple." Now, as you know, I love to look into the original language, the Greek and the Hebrew, and because sometimes it just brings out more in the text, and it helps the text to look. When I was growing up, we had black and white television, and I love it when color television came out. And color television just brought out more of the picture. You saw the same thing, but the picture came out more. Well, that's the languages, the Greek and the Hebrew, same as our English Bible, but it brings out something. So I looked at the word hate. It's the word misio in the Greek, and I thought, well, it might be something else. But the word there has two meanings. The first meaning is to detest, to detest. Luke uses this word hate six other times in his gospel. It's used, I think, somewhere around 27 times in all the four Gospels. But the other times that Luke uses the word hate, it's the same way that most of us think about hate, to detest, to not like. Jesus said, "The world will hate you, and those who hate, and all the rest, hate. And to hear Jesus say, if you're going to follow me, you got to hate your mother, your father, your brother, your sister. And for some who might say, "Well, here, I'm right there with you because I don't like them anyway." He goes on to say, "And even yourself, cannot be my disciple. So then I want to bring about the second word, definition for the word misio, to hate. And that is to like less. To like less, L-E-S-S. And it is that word that I believe Jesus is using here. He said, well, how can you say that? Are you just trying to whitewash it and make it sound a little bit better and all that? No. Jesus was very, very clear about how we ought to love one another, isn't he? He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love, that the world may know that you're my disciples, that you have love one for the other. And then one of the most favorite verses in the world is, God so loved the world. And so why would God call us to hate ourselves or to hate others? Well, the actual rendering of that is to love less. In other words, our love to God ought to be so great that it looks like the love that we have for others fails in comparison. God does not, and I want to make this clear, please, Holy Father, help me to say this right. God does not call us to hate our loved ones. If that's what you're hearing, we're not hearing that clearly. God calls us to love him first and foremost. And we are to love others. Oh, certainly we love our mother and father and brother and sister and ourselves. And you could, the list goes, brother-in-law, mother-in-law, you know, the list goes. Great. Yes. But our love for God is that much more greater. And he goes on to describe what he means or how he means in verse number 27. He said, well, how do you know that's what that verse is talking about? How do you know that it is not the same word hate in the sense of detest? How do you know that it is to love, to like less? Well, look at verse 27, or listen to verse 27. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. The two requirements that Jesus gives in this text about to be followers of him is, number one, to love him, and number two, to bear our cross. That word to bear, to give up, is bastazo. Bastazo. It means to lift. It means to bring it up. If you were a weightlifter, you're lifting weights, you're under there and you're trying to bring that thing up and you're lifting that up like I show my son how to do all the time. He's that close to lifting more than I do. but to press and to lift, it's the same word used here, that if we're to follow Jesus, we bear our cross. Stephanos is the word cross here. And that's quite interesting, because the word cross is akin to a word that we would use today, like electric chair. It was an emblem of death. Now, I wear a cross oftentimes, and I didn't put it in my pocket today. I normally put in my pocket my little wooden cross. I carry that with me everywhere I go, except for today. Who knew I would forget it today? But I whip that thing out, especially if I'm in the doctor's office and I'm waiting to hear news. I'm rubbing that thing. And whenever I'm kind of anxious, I bring that baby out and I rub it. If I don't have it, I'm rubbing this thing. I wear my cross. And for so many of us, we wear cross necklaces. And they look really nice. But actually what we're wearing around our necks, it's an electric chair. And because that's exactly what it was back in Jesus' day. It was a place of unbelievable death. Jesus died on the cross. Not in a pleasant way. He didn't die of a heart attack. He didn't die of a stroke. He did not die of diabetes. He did not die quietly in his sleep, peacefully, sleeping while driving a car and everybody else is panicking, but he's peaceful. Yeah. He didn't die that way. He died on the cross in the most humiliating fashion, in the most degrading fashion, in a fashion no one would want to be associated with in dying. It meant that you are a bad person, that you were sentenced to die by lethal means. Jesus says, if you're going to be my disciple, carry the heavy load that you must carry. You see, in a sense, what we learn in this passage, and following Jesus requires sacrifice. And sometimes we never know what it is to go through trials until we devote our life to Christ. Because the world is against us. Forces of evil is against believers in Christ. And things begin to happen to believers that encourages us to bear that cross. And beloved, what is not mentioned in this text, but is absolutely true throughout the Word of God, is that when we bear our cross, we bear it not alone. Because there's someone who bore it before us, and his name is Jesus. And when we go through our trying times, we do not go through it alone. He goes with us. And then Jesus gives two examples of what it means to be fully committed. And that's the idea here in this text, is to, again, is not only to love God, not only to bear the cross, but lastly and thirdly, if you wanted 3 points in a poem, this is it. The third point is that we do so with commitment. We follow through with what we say we're going to do. And Jesus gave two examples, one of which reminds me of what I used to see driving on 9N when I lived in Corinth. I lived there for 12 years or so. And I used to travel 9N going toward Hadley or Lake Luzerne. If you're familiar with that section, on this side was the Hudson River. I love to watch the Hudson, but not when I'm driving. But I love to see that Hudson River on the side. And on this side was some houses, but there was a structure. It's not there now, but for years, someone decided they wanted to build a steel structure. I don't know if it was supposed to be a garage or what it was. But it was made of steel, and it was supposed to be able to stick around for a long, long, long time. But the problem was, it wasn't finished. I don't know if they ran out of money or if the business fell through. All I remember is with the beautiful sight of the Hudson River over here. On this side was a big wooden steel skeleton that began to rust, and grass was growing up around it. And it became such an eyesore. Every time I went by there, I thought, oh, how horrible that was if someone wasn't able to finish it. Couldn't they have done something to finish? And it just, every time, it was a testimony to something that wasn't completed. And Jesus uses that when he says, when you follow me, don't be like that one who, and he gives the analogy of one king who encounters another king in war and not able to consider its prize. Talks about another who builds a tower and does not complete it. It becomes an eyesore when we say we're going to follow the Lord, and we do not complete it. You see, beloved, because the world is looking at us. And one of the things the world wants and waits for is to see us fail. They want to be able to laugh at us And they want to be able to laugh at believers. And Jesus reminds us, if we follow him, number one, we got to love him. I mean, really love him. And our love for God ought to be so much that it looks like we love others less. Not that we hate them in a way of detesting them, but it looks like that love is just less. And then we determine to lift a heavy load that we're maybe called to carry. All of us have various different crosses. Perhaps none of us have the same type of cross. I don't have the same burden that you have to bear. You may not have the same burden that I have to bear. We have our different and sundry burdens. But when we bear that, remember that Christ bore the burden long before we. And we bear it not alone. Remember that lifting the weight. One of the things I've noticed in weightlifting, and we have a former professional weightlifter in our church. And this person can tell us also, sometimes you have a spotter, right? They're there to catch you in case you're not able to put the weight back on the bar or lift it completely. That spotter is there. And we have those who go alongside of us as we are lifting that weight. Then we do so realizing the importance of completing that journey of faith. Following Jesus is not something we just do when we happen to feel like it. It's not something we say, I'm going to try something new. But it's a lifelong commitment of faith walking with Jesus. And Jesus ends his statement in verse number 33 in the same place I wish to close. And that is with these words. So therefore, whoever of you does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. You say, well, Jesus, whew, boy, that's kind of harsh, isn't it? That's kind of tough to say, get rid of all you have, until we realize and we see that that is precisely what Jesus did. And leaving the portals of glory, coming down here, taking on the form of a human, and dying on a cross. Oh, he never committed one tiny little bitty sin. But there he is, hung high and stretched wide for all the world to see on our crucifixes, that Jesus was there on the cross. He wasn't there because of something he's done. He was there for something I have done, that all of us have done. Oh, the love of Jesus. May God help us and aid us as we bear the cross of Jesus as a follower of him by his grace. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for your word. We ask your blessing upon your word, that we, as we desire to follow you, we may trust you and love you in such a way that we know how you journey with us and help us. You do not send us all alone. You do not say, well, just let me know how things are going. I hope everything goes well. See it? No, you go with us. You walk alongside. And you sent your Holy Spirit to live inside of us, to guide us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Just before we receive our tithes and offering, as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, please hear these words. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we propose to celebrate together, with the gracious help of God, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper this next Lord's Day. Our conscience rightly declares us unworthy of this gift, for we have neither loved the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind, nor have we loved others as ourselves. To examine our lives is to confirm that we deserve exclusion from this royal banquet and indeed from God's presence forevermore. Yet this is God's feast of love. It was in love that God, Christ gave himself for us when we should have justly died. Christ freely paid our penalty, dying in our place, becoming our complete righteousness. Therefore, our self-examination must not end in despair, for we are what God has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, prepared beforehand to be our way of life. So partaking at this Lord's table is not an act of virtue. This table is prepared for those who humbly trust Christ alone and find in his death, resurrection, and ascension their only peace, though we often fail in our efforts. Those of us who approach this table with desire to please God, conforming our lives to God's purpose, resting fully assured that when God finds such contrite trust and godly intention, God will forgive us our sins. Let us pray. Almighty God, we have sinned against you and one another in thought, word, and deed, in what we have done and what we have left undone. Therefore, we pray in silence before you. Hear us as we pray. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our gracious God forgives us of our sins and strengthens us by his Holy Spirit and will keep us in life eternal through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Right now, we invite our ushers to come as we receive our tithes and offering. Opportunity to receive these gifts, we ask your blessing upon them in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pass the peace. Thank you. joy to be able to gather together and to share the peace. A number of years ago, I had the bright idea, and thank God I stopped it as soon as I started it, of singing to symbol to you that it's time to gather back. And I don't sing too well. I think I do, but if you heard it, you might disagree, right, Scott? But I don't sing too well. So we do other things. So thank you for gathering back together as we share the peace. I wonder if there's prayer requests you would like us to share with one another. And I see your hand. Yes.
I would like to say prayers for my father. My uncle just passed away suddenly last week, and those two are 2 kids in a pod.
Oh, my soul. With these, father, and pray for a brother. Some of you know back yonder I suffered a stroke. And I mention that because it takes me a little bit sometimes to remember names. I did that this morning. And I forgot your name for the longest time. As you were talking, I said, please, Lord, remind me what her. But I get it, so bear with me a little bit. It's getting much, much better. We can pray for Christy's father's brother, her uncle, who passed away. I wonder, are there any other prayer requests? All right. Let us go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Good and gracious God and Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together as a community of faith. And not only sing songs and hymns, not only to read your word and to hear your word proclaimed, not only to pray together, but being together. How precious and important that is. Your word, when it exhorts us not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together, as the matter of some is, but gather together, is meant to encourage us that it is so refreshing to be with others, that we're not walking in this world all alone. And it's not that others are not aware of the challenges of living the Christian life. But those who are seated around us and beyond these four walls, everyone who calls themselves by your name, who are yours, shares in that same brother and sisterhood. Thank you, Father, for that joy. Thank you that we can lift up knees to you. I pray right now for Christy's uncle who has passed away. Pray, Father, that within this time of sorrow and grief, especially for her dad, who was so knitly close to his brother, and now being separated from the veil by the veil of death, we pray for him. I pray as if there is a gathering to remember his life, I pray that that might be a time of comfort in some way in the midst of these griefs and the grief of death. Father, I pray for many who are ill and suffering. We mentioned bearing a cross, and there are some who do so literally. And some cultures literally bear crosses and do all sorts of things. And then there's many figuratively, spiritually, bearing crosses of suffering and shame or loneliness, or sickness or death, of surgeries. And so we remember these. I remember Garrett. Pray, Father, that whenever his surgery is on this, his birthday, Father, yeah, you knew I had to throw that one out, that you would bless the surgeon, as we have seen you do with many of our loved ones as the day approaches. Father, we pray for our world, and that many of us who are aware of the tragedies that's happening around us, not only in our own country, but in places all over the world. So much sorrow and death. We spend so much time hurting each other, saying mean things, doing mean things, horrible things, bombs, and women made things that bring about destruction and war. And then there's horrible storms that happen, and flooding and earthquakes and fires. Oh Lord, we cry out for thy mercy and thy grace. As we spend a few moments in silent prayer, we ask, Holy Father, that you would hear our prayers. And we remember the words you taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's take our last hymn of praise, please, and turn to I'd Rather Have Jesus, hymn number 517.
Be held in sin's dread sway.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and grant you his peace.